Metro Access Subcommittee, September 19, 2016.
June, how are you?
I'm Dr. Trump.
I'm sorry. How are you?
Good to see you.
Ms. Rush, good to see you.
I'm sorry, it's John Gray.
And I'm pretty stupid.
Me.
I guess I'm really stupid.
And I'm only assuming that it's just because of what I'm expecting. Good afternoon. Everyone, we're going to start the meeting. I would like for everybody to turn off their telephones or anything that will make noise so that we will not disturb the meeting. And we're going to start with the introductions. My name is Denise Rush, and I'm Vice Chair of the Metro Access Subcommittee. We'll go to my left.
I'm Carolyn Bellman, Consumer Advocate for Metro Access, and I'm Long County Resident.
Good evening, Carolyn.
I'm Carolyn Bellman. I'm Consumer Advocate for Metro Access, and I'm a Montgomery County Resident.
My name is Donnie Henry Bush, and I'm a Washington, D.C. 48 resident.
Jackson Benedict, from Patrick County.
Christopher Colbert, Metro Office of Eligibility.
Where's the name? I live in Fairfax.
Hey, Matt, I see Fairfax County, Richard.
William Brock, Metro Access.
Alex Manson, Metro Access.
Omar Jones, Metro Access.
Mark Nash, Metro Access.
Carl Baker, Metro Access.
Stephanie Thorne, Metro Access.
Tim Cobbleton, Metro Access.
Stephen Heller, ETU.
Nicole Mack, Metro Access.
Carlton Brown, MCM.
David Schieffer, ETU Policy and Planning.
Andrew Rogers, Consumer.
Carl Smith.
Prentice White, PG County.
Billy Jean, Palmstone, Washington, D.C., Metro Access.
Charlie Crawford, Metro Access.
Jen Weber, MCM.
Edward Harris. Bob Walsh, Metro Access Customer.
Conrad Marshall, Transdev.
Leland Peterson, NV Transportation.
John Gray, NV Transportation.
Albert Brennan, Susan Brown.
Thank you. If there are customers who have not already signed up, they want to make comments, please make sure that you sign the list so your name will appear. Each customer gets 3 minutes. Okay, Okay, now we're going to review the agenda and events of the prior meeting. So, has everyone reviewed the minutes?
I have a question, I was trying to have a meeting on July 18th, my name is on there.
Okay, sir, we'll add your information to that, thank you for bringing it to our attention.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
I'd like to move that we approve the minutes of the agenda.
Okay. Call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. And now we will review the agenda for today.
I hope that we set the agenda as presented.
Okay, well.
Do you want to read it?
Well, first, we discussed something here. Do you have something you want to add?
I would like to add some discussion, maybe not a late discussion, but I see that there is nothing wrong here about alternative drive. That's my thing.
Or do you want?
And the alternative drive, it was discussed when we had the major meeting. But it's not being discussed here, I think this is a very important thing. Also, I'd like to get an understanding about if there are some closing for the subway, what's going to happen to Metro Access? So that should be a discussion in itself. So I do have a couple of questions I would like discussed.
I think I also would like to discuss the meeting that I attended where Mr. Kent gave his proposal about the availability drive. I was the only one there, but you didn't get to speak, but you listened to the whole proposal. It was really neat to discuss that also. So, can we get a vote on?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the agenda as edited by the member of this committee.
Can I get a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Yes.
There's some music and some singing over here on some electronic device. Somebody investigate that and have that.
We will take care of it, thank you.
But I can't hear.
Let's go to this.
Okay, so, have we approved?
Yeah.
Yes. Anyone opposed? Well, except the agenda as excuse me, amended.
Minimized.
Let's call someone up here. All right, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Paul Sokur, Metro Access Subcommittee Chair. Prince George's County, Maryland, welcome. And I see we already did the agenda. Did we do a check?
Yes.
Oh, good. All right, we're moving forward. Customer service and outreach reports. And then I presume the next two, well, at least one of these presentations is outside. Okay, so let's go customer service and outreach reports, please. Thank you so much, Ms. Rush.
Good afternoon. At this time, I'd like to present Mr. Walton Brown with MTM to give the report on the public comments from our last session.
Thank
Good afternoon, committee members, members of the committee. For the last meeting in July, there were four public comments that required investigation or a follow-up. One was with regard to a no-show, which was reinvestigated, and that communication was provided back to the customer. Another comment was with regard to Transport DC, which was addressed at the time during the meeting. The other comments revolved around problems with dispatchers and comments from dispatchers, and that issue was addressed by the management team of the dispatch group. And the final one was with regard to a customer who had an issue with their geocoding, and working through with them, we had to go back and make sure that their geocoding was correctly assigned to the address for the pickup location. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. For this month, we do not have a Michael Wilson Award recipient. We look to have a recipient for our October meeting. Additionally, with outreach, we have not conducted an outreach session to report on at the time of this meeting. However, we do have an outreach scheduled actually for tomorrow evening that we will report on in the October meeting. That concludes the outreach and customer service report. Thank you.
All right. So next is vehicle pre-trip inspection demonstration. And are all these presentations outside?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir.
So I guess whoever's in charge of that can lead those. Vehicle pre-trip inspection demonstration and vehicle access safety package drive cams.
Yes. For those that require extra assistance, we will be around to provide that, and also there will be some individuals coming through with wheelchairs for those that require that assistance.
Lady, Miss Ross, I'm going to.
Ms. Ruff, are you going? Oh, I'm not her, okay. You have a car right now, right?
I just can't check on you. Hey, what's up, how you been? You sound better. You should get a phone.
They all out there.
Yep.
I know that like the back of my hand.
What's that?
I said, I know about that like the back of my hand. I talk about it in my presentation.
I don't remember the, native.
Union, right?
Yep. So I got one close to mine. Don't relate here as well. I don't relate here as well, as I should. But we met at the National Resource Day.
Sure did.
Yep.
How you been doing?
I've been good. We're just trying to insert some tabs on like what the Maryland Building Drive thing would look like.
I have a problem. I have a real problem. And a problem because it's not really good. I can get on it, but I can't do it. People that can't get on it, it's not fair to them. And people who don't have smartphones. Unless they can get companies, that can take calls. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's gonna limit the city.
One thing, I know, at least I've been talking about Carol Tyson in my case a lot. The option for payment, I know itself is interesting because with, companies like Room Lift, you have to have a card on the thing. Yeah, I should say. So there's no real alternative if you only, if you're cash only, or if you're on the same income and you don't necessarily have a card or want to have a card.
Seniors are old. When you find somebody over the age, they're not using credit card. And so that's limited. And I think this whole thing was done in a way that people couldn't protect. I'm only one person. And I get a little upset when we have 20 pieces of paper, but I'm gonna do that for someone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know I missed a lot of these meetings over the summer, around some Buffalo.
But they were controlled very well. And like I said, I play a little bit sometimes, it's very important. But you talked about the ride in the main room and never said about anything about it. I'm on Metro Access. You're giving busy work out there. That's busy work. That's all that is busy. What do you need? What does the customer need to know about pictures? What does the customer need to know about driving? Busy work. The issue is that seniors will not, you know, Metro Access is going to get so that the average senior will be able to do a little price. You have to sell it and use it.
Yeah, I know when I was in Buffalo, we're gonna contract it in over there, but Air Transit is in-house as opposed to, having a subcontractor be involved. And no matter what, it's always a flat rate. It's usually about $2. And there's no trip limit. And that's another thing, I care all about talking about. They'll send out emails about like the progress of this. I wasn't able to see Heidi today, but I will soon. But I guess they're doing a trip limit.
They went to the limit to the minimum limit. They're all jumping at the 8 foot 5 yards. But in my opinion, the limit is going to be a picture. And if you stay, if you don't use all of their alternatives, you will only be able to ride one of them. See, I got a problem with you. Number one, you said that there's a connection. There's something that the alternative ride is being run by a different state. Well, then why are you giving Metro Access customers numbers? It's that federal fund that Metro Access is being federal fund too. So that means you are not giving everybody a chance. I knew they could push you as you know, the big key perk. Okay, I can see it. Because of the air. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But when you talk about Maryland, if you just sort of think that they cut a lot of bus over there,
Yeah, I know, there's an organizer, her name's Leslie Henderson, she's with the Prince George's Act, Accessible Community Transit, and what they're going through is they continuously see all these route cuts change, and then like, obviously, your riders of like one service area that if they suspend like say Sunday service, that's it. So you have an under.
So I'm not gonna do it, yeah, I'm ready. That's all I'm saying, you know.
I know.
You know, you know.
A little bit, we actually had contract negotiations with them, I was there for one meeting. We actually had talks with them tomorrow, sort of about.
Say one thing, probably something.
Well, we, this is a fairly inside baseball, but realized that we have a so-called flex time. And in the last contract, we wrote that in because Pittsburgh's time is at its end. So we want to write something into the contract that, for example, paid leave. And the way it's being carried out the past year, it's only brand new for that year, it's totally different than what we agreed on in the talks.
Remember one thing, some people say one thing in front of you, but scared how the employees. The employees come, just take a poll of the company, okay? Take an awful poll, yeah, some of them had to take a job because of work age, I'm a social worker, because of work age. So you got to meet people that have given them benefits towards somewhere and they know they shouldn't. You say, you know, they're going to have this and that. After a while, you don't want to work. Any little benefit that you got, that's all they want.
Yep.
And people are sitting there, now get angry with the customers too, because they want people to jump the hoops with them. And we have some of the worst customers you ever meet in life. And they listen to me. My name is always the same. I have, in my case, I have quite a few of these buildings that are quite a lot. And you put me in the van, you don't know my this building. I think I have a lot of this building. I could have very well known who this building and how it functions. And so I'm mad at you because you don't stop somebody. So I like it.
I know the call center is tough when it comes to its turnover rate. It's like this last Thursday, I got the new termination list. Of course, our job is to defend folks and make sure that if they are to be justly terminated, it has to go by the language of the contract, no matter what, because you don't want an unfair representation charge on you. But I'll see like the name, hire date, job abandonment, dissatisfied with the position, job abandonment.
But they don't have stronger patience in the class.
Private sector, we didn't make progress except that we got more sewer. Her name's Hannah White. She's very good. She's been there a long time. That's sort of the rough thing when it comes to a lot of Metro Access properties versus other properties. I'll visit it. So turnover rate is so abysmal.
The old driver, see, I don't understand the contract why the driver gets pin them off on. They get, if you've been there 6 weeks, you get 46 hits. Crazy. But then you gotta have permission to take you to the hospital to get sick. You gotta have permission to take you to vacation when you're sick. I mean, things like that I've watched with the community. And they want to know why drivers don't step. Everybody's got a pen in the game, and some of them are actually out there, and some of the customers that even come down here want Metro Access rather than Fifth Quadrant, not in the city center. This is the thing, and the problem I'm having is that you know so many people, and they get discouraged. What's that mean?
Well, big problem that we're facing is a lot of truck drivers, like you go to like covered road, you'll see on the parking lot, we'll see Uber stickers. And in order to make ends meet, I want to say close to, we have 7,004, we have two members, 689 and 764 that live in Prince George's County. But we're finding more and more each year under our time, but it's a trap, because Uber is in the subprime automobile market, so you get into a trap where you get into a long-term financial relationship. And it worries us to that extent. And then also, if you work for Uber, you're not their employee. So every employee, employer, or law out there goes on the law.
The other thing is that they don't realize, see, I've been in contact almost on the phone, that we're under EV transportation. They don't know nothing about paying taxes. They don't know nothing about the insurance and where they're in the car. And see, I've seen a lot of people go out there, they're working 12 hours. Maybe they're working 4 days, and then you go out the room, but they're tired when they come back.
Oh yeah, they're exhausted.
So they make stupid mistakes.
I'll meet them, if I do like a morning trip to Tucker Road, I'll get in at 3. So, they try their best, but, folks rush right for the coffee, they take a flag. There's like two vending machines in the Hubbard Road break room. They'll get like the Mountain Dew stuff. When it's all over, obviously, you have like four of those in a day. And then obviously, if someone gets sick, they're incentivized to work while sick.
And if you're sick, you're tired, you're
in
trouble. And any of those things. They don't really, I've been watching, they don't really know how to pay that. They don't even drive a fair chance, pretty sure. And I'm very some game playing too, you know. But you have people that are like Phyllis, has been working in Grand Rapids for 16 years. You know, 16 years, you don't know anything else but Richard Mitchell. You pay for all Richard Mitchell. Richard Mitchell, so you be transportation. I'm not training. Oh, you got training. You're not giving me 50 cents of training. Because I know you're training. One thing about Richard Mitchell, when he takes a stand, he's usually right.
Oh, yeah.
But people don't listen to him because he ran it off. He is usually right. They don't like him talking. So they'll try to pick your Christian things. You know, the Richard Mitchell was right. You see, you made a trial in that train.
Yeah.
You follow? He was right back there, and he said, I'm not ready. Well, somebody, I don't care if somebody got saved for that thing and me. But see, with most drivers on the road, Phyllis Hughes, you can find it in their train.
Yep. And it takes, depending on the contract, it's also rough. You have like multiple subcontractors in the privatized model. There's a very probationary period, so even if someone gets out of training, you gotta wait like some properties it's 6 days, other properties it's 9 days, until we represent them and until they can invoke their wine garden rights.
The first place to work in that track, he does not give them a
vote. They haven't had a contract signed on.
He will spend a million dollars. They will be sick. He works on it. It's just that plantation for real. There's people been there 9 years and they'll got away. Not one day. And he always says the same thing. I got a bunch of kids.
Well, when you're going through, because a big part of what I do at the issues that work on contract campaigns, and any rider issues are involved with whatever service. The workers are working on. And About a year ago, you were at Expiration at the EFD Call Center, and Transat as well as 689's first transit. And then Diamond, outstanding now, is outstanding then. What we kept hearing from Diamond was they'll sign off on a B2 contract once the other three were done. We got the other three, and then we were like, so how about that B2 money, which was everyone signed off on? And
we have to sign it. Yeah. Because it was going to happen, too. The opportunity to address this.
Well, Mom.
No, I'm talking about the MLK. And we are beginning to think about organizing things. You can only hold the slave down only so long before we really start thinking. And what happened is that they're looking up here and seeing how much people make. And they're saying, well, you know what, I'll go around and pay that. I might have to do some training again with a chance of finding a little more money. Right. You know, and that's what you're getting at.
What is the problem, at least we're trying to fight through a lot of board on the living wage policy, because that's the way it should.
Yeah.
Because we even sold in my face. We have to, the living wage rate went up. It's just that Vermont would pay it, not them.
Are you paying attention to him? Just
hello.
Listen to what he said, and then watch what he does. Watch him do it.
Yeah. Forgot what I was about to say.
Oh, you did know.
There was a day, comment, or something.
What he said.
My, what's that? Genoa, a driver at Mother Road. She's one of our sewers over there. She was telling me, satellite, I want to say 4 months ago, 40 routes were shut down in one day because Montgomery County's ride-on service advertised at a job fair saying, well, train you to your CDL, your starting rate will be $19 now. So, if I were that covered road, of course, they like a lot of folks like me, like the ASU members, so they'll pay you, but you're making 1348, and then the guy says, hey, sign here, we'll make 19, and we'll train you to get your CDL.
That's great, that's so long, and it's happening. You see, a guy with me, you've been thinking 12 or 40 years or something like that. Hell, you can go and work in a store sometime, catch your store when they need you, and be fortunate. The road suits going to the train is going to
we just organized the road supervisors. I believe it was for Vermont, it was like tooth and nail at the MRB. We had to go through that route to see whether or not we could actually organize them. Because sometimes the MRB will say, no, they can't be the same union if they
can
discipline. So they kind of ran with what Harris, they said they could be the same global. So they're 689 over at Hubbard Road. Just a small group of them, but they're good guys.
And they should go. All of the roads, what they should do, put all the roads together in each location. They all get the same train.
Yeah.
And they all on the same page. They separate. There are some road suits that make more than others. They've been here for a while. I've been around since 2005. And we've got a couple of those covered roads that need a suit. I'm going to drive.
I want to say Armentaton,
I remember when Armentaton was.
Yep.
And she stepped in. The only problem I have is if a customer does something to you, as a driver, nothing. But if you do something to a customer, that's not right. There are some people that have mental issues that want to drive.
And other riders that are there, too.
They come and use that new computer. And I've said something before. Why don't you all tell them the real rule? You don't know what it's all yes or no. They will talk to you. But you don't tell them that they're wrong. So they leave out the meeting thinking that they're right. So then they come back again. If we don't, we never tell them, no, that's not a problem. We'll have some talk. And someone talks around, like, instead of telling them, this is what he has. Fortunately, Bill complained about, and I said, why can't you tell the truth? As an advocate, I tell the truth. It's real simple. And if you don't appear to them, that's okay. The ones that are more vocal, the squeaky wheel, the one that makes most noise, that's the one that gets that shot. You watch that, any driver can say, you know.
One of our folks at the MD call center, it was hot, but it was like, she was telling me about, there is a call center, sort of, like a red list of like, a squeaky wheel sort of thing. And they'll, she'll have to rebatch, re-trips, accordingly. And,
And some people are making these things. They're complaining, the rest of them, when she comes out and she passes by,
You don't want to join us, Mom?
I know that back too far. What is that going on there? I know you did too. That's just normal. Oh, man.
I use my car.
Well, no.
You can take your time. So our first speech this evening is going to be a dissertation on the fun of public transit by ATU Representative. Yeah?
So you get to the mic.
Thank you.
As committee members are coming in, staff, if you can go around with questions. For those in the audience, if you have questions from these two presentations, staff will be coming around with cards. They will take down your questions so I can read them aloud here after committee members have done their questions, so that staff can address them accordingly. Time order, please. Thank you. We do all want to be out here on time at 6 p.m. I was told 6 p.m. Thank you. All right, I'm going to start with committee members with questions. And for other customers in the audience, staff is coming around with cards, so we can hear questions. All right, we can't do it outside because everything has, at least this portion, has to be recorded. So make sure it's properly recorded. So first, we're going to start with Doris. Doris, go ahead. 2 minutes, because we got other things on the agenda here.
I'm wondering if presentation is available to us in writing, because for a person with a significant hearing impairment, it was pretty difficult for me to hear some of it, and if not most of it, and that it would also be helpful having being my person as well to be able to. So I would appreciate it if that's possible.
So, staff, there's a request from the committee member if alternative form of this presentation can be provided to all committee members. Alright. So, if that can be said, hopefully, sometime, who wants to respond to that soon?
Yes, Mr. Snyder. Yeah, we will be able to provide, from my understanding, the request is to provide a written documentation of the presentation that was just provided. Is that accurate?
That is correct.
Okay, we will be able to do so.
Thank you. I see Tappan and then Charlie. Who's the Charlie and then Tappan?
Okay. I remember a few meetings ago when I had come in from a sweltering ride on central access. I asked the question, can the vans leave the yard without the air conditioning working? And I was told that the air conditioning had to work when the van's up the yard. This brings up the obvious question. What happens when, after you leave the yard, and the check that you had during the yard is okay, but then one of the things goes wrong, doesn't work anymore? Okay? All right, so what I'm asking is, the conditions that have to exist when it leaves, are they maintained during the day, and if not, what do you do?
All right, who wants to respond to that?
Yes, sir, I would respond to that, Mr. Chair. Mr. Crawford, so you're asking a question specifically related to the air conditioning unit. Absolutely, if the air conditioning unit or the heat is not working on the van after it's in service, that vehicle is to go out of service and at max base. That is something that does happen. From time to time, if there are other maintenance failures that would render that vehicle to be out of service, again, that vehicle would need to go back to base for review and repair. That is definitely the protocol and procedure that is to be followed. If there are any instances where that was not the case, I understand you're in the particular van where their air conditioning unit was not working, it certainly should have gone back to base. And when we do receive complaints related to a vehicle, whether it's the heat or the AC not working properly, we always go back and ensure to check the pre-trip inspection sheet to see if this was notated before the vehicle left the yard, and then also the maintenance of the respective contractor performs a review of that particular function to see if indeed the air conditioning unit or whatever the maintenance issue is working correctly. So that's part of the whole process. That's the protocol that should be followed when any maintenance failure that would render the vehicle not usable, that would not be able to allow us to go out in the first place, those same conditions apply once the vehicle is in service.
Thank you. Next is Captain, and then Denise, and then Darnese.
As a wheelchair user, I was listening very carefully what we could do on emergency exit situation. Now, if the fire on the driver's side or the passenger side, if there is no lift on the back of the door of the vehicles, how a wheelchair person can be evacuated? Is there any training given to the driver how to handle a situation like that?
Yes, sir. I can answer that question. The drivers are trained to, in emergency situations, to remove the individual from the chair by putting their arms under the individual's arms to pull them off the vehicle. In an emergency situation, we will leave the chair and pull the person off the vehicle because the person is way far more important to get off the vehicle than to worry about the chairs or any other apparatus. We want to make sure that we safely get the individual off the vehicle. And if the driver is by herself, they've been trained to perform that maneuver. And if there's a road supervisor nearby, they will assist as well.
All right, Mr. Chair. I put you down on the list. I think some people are still ahead of you for hearing that comment. Oh, okay. Let me do the order of the list. I don't have a name. Okay, go ahead.
The only reason I'm asking, you said under the arm, Mr. Pratt, you said under the arm, you get people under the arm, pull them out. Because I'm saying with my particular situation, under the arm is useless. And, how else would you evaluate?
The other thing that they're also trained to do, sir, is if they're able to grip your clothing and slide you off the rear, they would also do that. If they could not get under your arm to do that, anything that they could safely hold on to would be your belt or your shirt that's worn, they can use that to slide you towards the back end to let you down easy. That would be the only thing that would be possible in an emergency situation with only the driver on the vehicle.
All right, thank you. Denise and then Darnese.
I know that the drivers do check the buses before they leave pre-trip, but they have come to my house and usually I'm the first person on the vehicle in the morning. The door, they had another passenger on one occasion. The passenger, they could open the door and get me on or get the passenger off. And we were the first trips in the morning. A lot of times when I pick up in the evening, the air conditioner's not working. Maybe I'm their last trip, so they're going back. I don't know if they rode all day while there's no air, but I have made the complaints. When you have a shortage of drivers and you have a route to pick up, it's hard. You already have an add-on, so it's really hard to accommodate the people that need to be picked up because you don't have enough drivers as it is. The air conditioning's condensed, I guess, when if you sit in the back, you get wet from the air conditioning raining on you. Sometimes the seat belts aren't perhaps, they're broken, early in the morning. And sometimes you have more than one passenger that's a blind load, because I'm blind load, and they only have one extension. What do you do with it, another person?
Okay, who wants to take that question? No questions?
Okay, I heard, talk about the AC curfew issue. That's probably more noticeable on the higher humidity days. We have had manufacturers out, we've actually had one of their vehicles in a test cell in Pennsylvania, creating the humidity to try to fix the issue. And we did fix the majority of them, but over this past summer, we still were seeing some with blow drains. And there's actually a pan right up there that the condensation sets in and drains down. And if those drains get clogged, they have to get in there and clean them out. And that's what we've been seeing a lot of. And we are definitely still working on that. You know, we don't believe the manufacturer fixed all the problems with it. So it's something we're still working on.
Thank you, Bernice.
Average Thursday, Ms. Bernice. I'd like to know how the 14-second camera reacts to a hard break, potholes, and street construction. And then I also have one other question. And the other question is, I understand that the radio and stuff is, well, the lack of a radio. How do you, what procedure is in place to let the driver know if there are problems along his route?
Yeah, the clip that I'm talking about outside, it's a total of 14 seconds, but there is an indicator there. And when it is activated, there's more before footage than after. I think it's something like 6.5 or 7.5 something, and the rest is activated then. And yes, potholes do activate. Yes, stopping quickly does activate. A sudden stop by the driver, we'll say, or an emergency panic stop if somebody else comes in. And I did mention out there an accommodation or an example of good behavior from the driver does come up quite frequently as a quick stop to avoid an accident or an incident. So you know, that's, you know, the amount of footage on that is, as I said out there, is an event recorder. It is not a video system. Now, there are vehicle video systems out there, but this is an event recorder to record, I guess, in 70 seconds before an accident.
Thank you. Next is
The drivers don't have radio, so I'd like to know if there's a procedure in place to alert the driver if there are emergency traffic situations or if he has an emergency on the bus itself. Is there something in place that he can get assistance over, I guess, radio? Without the radio, GPS or something. Is there a procedure in place?
There is a procedure. The OCC, they're monitoring the traffic conditions and traffic patterns and things like that. So they will send a message to the driver if a specific area is backed up due to police activity or an accident or anything like that, and just giving them an alert if they're entering that particular area or zone. So they are in communication with them. They will also send out road supervisors to kind of monitor that area to assist and guide them throughout the blockage and develop a detour to assist them on their way.
Also, other, you know, drivers that may be encountering that particular situation real time can always call into the OCC via their push-to-talk radio and inform them of an event so that the OCC can also inform other drivers that are currently in service of what's happening on the road.
Can I speak to that?
Hello.
The
about the situation.
Well, we're going to give you a question.
They actually do, but I got one. Why should I use my time on you speaking on something they talk about?
I just have five of us in a simple question. You said the court does the event 7 seconds before and 7 seconds after, and I'm wondering how can you court 7 seconds before it happens? I mean, does it turn back time?
That was conscious.
Oh.
It's a constant recording. So, you know, it's recording more than 14 seconds, but when it's triggered, it holds, you know, so many seconds before, so many hours. Thank you. My question is, Mr. Fryer, you said the important thing is the rangers are working. So what is the procedure and process when all the rangers are out of service temporarily, like this past Saturday morning? What process goes into place now?
Okay, the process that would go into place is what the drivers are trained on. If the rangers are down, all of the drivers are trained to revert back to using their mat books. They come in the morning and they get their items for going into service. The mat book is one of the items that they have to have, they have to be able to use. They are also trained on how to use a mat. They're taken out and they have to drive off routes to make sure that they're able to look up a location and be able to get to that location. The mat training is done before they go out on the road, and then once they go out on the road, they have to show that they're able to actually perform their function.
All right, thank you. And now I have customer comment cards right up here. We'll start with the first question from the audience. Who has the responsibility for assuring safety, the safety kit on a vehicle? Yep. Who has the responsibility for assuring safety, Francine?
Yeah, that was my question. The gentleman who addressed our safety issues, I think.
Oh, but we're talking about your mic.
My name is Francine White, and I just had a question for the gentleman who did the safety presentation. In doing so, I didn't hear anything about assuring that there was a safety kit on the vehicle. And I was just wondering what the, you know, what the objective is there.
There are safety kits on the vehicle. It's up above the driver. That's probably one of the things that I did forget to mention. But in an event that there is a serious emergency, we prefer to call EMS and have the professionals do anything that needs to be done with the customer if there's an issue. But in the event of the emergency, there are emergency kits right above the driver in that compartment.
All right, Chris, the second question I'll go to is, should not the drivers also check scent securement? Sometimes the scenting is wobbly. Oh, right.
Yeah, that's my question too. I have been on the vehicle a few times, as well as with other people, and the seats have not been secure. And I'm just wondering, who checks that out? Shouldn't the driver be checking that out?
Okay, of course, during the pre-trip, the operator should be checking all the seats, as I stated during the demonstration, especially the fold-down seats to make sure that they're folding up and folding down properly. If there's an issue found with the seats, then that definitely should be reported to maintenance so that it can be repaired. That's why the operators not only do a pre-trip, the operators also have to do a post-trip, which is letting the maintenance know anything that occurred or any issues that happened with the vehicle while out of service so it can be repaired before the next operator receives that vehicle.
All right, next question is, why is the ranger not equipped to properly pick up customers based on location? Anyone wants to take that?
I'll say, Tim, just understanding what the inquiry is that I would, I'm assuming that
the question is, why is the ranger not equipped to partly pick up customers based on location.
And I take that question to mean that possibly improper directions were provided by the ranger. We recently had a comprehensive update to all of the rangers. This actually just happened within over the course of the last couple of months. There have been significant issues that were in place before that have been resolved by this update. We've received a lot of reports back from the operators and customers that the Ranger update actually did fix a lot of long-standing issues with address problems. Any other issues that we have as it relates to the Ranger not going to the proper location, we handle those on a case-by-case basis. But we did just recently complete a very comprehensive update to our Ranger, which included improved directions and mapping for trips.
That's my question, but that's not what I meant. It was when Mr. Irving said that the Ranger helps when a client is in the area to pick him up. So I've been on four this summer, and I constantly bring them up to you, and even from other clients, and it's even happened to me when I have waited for a ride after vans have left the area that I'm in empty, which I call them and let them know. And I found out I waited for one in Silver Spring or one in Camp Springs, or the ones that have been on with me was a dialysis patient. They picked them up, DuPont Circle, brought them all the way to 3rd and Constitution at the Department of Labor, picked me up, took them all the way up to Northwest to my house, and they needed to go to Bowie. One needed to go to Glen Arden. There's no way they should have been on the van with me, or I on with them.
Ms. Armstrong, from what you're describing, that really does not sound like it's a technological issue. It sounds more like a human issue of someone maybe doing a trip insertion on that particular route that should not have been done.
I'm agreeing. I'm just going about what Mr. Irwin said. It's good to have the ranger working so you can pick up people close to the area. I haven't seen it work that way at all since I've been riding. So whoever it is, it needs to be corrected.
Actually, what I was referring to was when they're trying to do trip insertions and they're looking for what will match best, the ranger is a tool for the drivers to know what trips they have been given. And I said they need to pay attention to their ranger because that could change depending on what trips best fits them for the location that they're in.
You're saying that they get a trip that takes them to Camp Springs, they can call and say, can you put that on somebody that's close to the Camp Springs?
No, ma'am, that's not.
Oh, okay. Well, in other words, somebody needs to fix it.
Thank you. The next question is, if windshield is cracked, does the van go out of service? If a windshield is cracked, does the van go out, I mean?
It will go out of service if it's at a certain place on the windshield for a certain length of a crack. In other words, if it's a small chip in the direct area of vision, it will go out of service. If it's a small chip in an area that's not in that area, it does not go out of service, but that chip will be fixed. If it is indeed a crack, and it is continuing to crack, it will put it out of service.
Thank you. How long do they keep the van in terms of years? How many miles before it is traded?
We go for a 4 to 5 year replacement, 150,000 miles. Currently, we are awaiting a new order of vehicles. It's going to be a totally different vehicle. So that has been extended a little bit. So currently, we do have some that are just outside of 5 years and just over 200,000 miles. And as we start getting replacements in those vehicles, we will return to that.
Okay, next question is, why do empty vans leave from my area when vans for me and they're working that are late?
I want to know why in areas that I see, even on my job at the hospitals, I'll see people down there even before me, and I'll see empty vans leaving, which now I write numbers down. First I didn't. And they're there, and I end up leaving before me, but yet you say you want to make sure things run smooth. Why should an empty van leave when people are sitting 20, 30 in an hour? And you could have sent that van back or found out. Just like when the driver comes pick you up, they were the driver to death as the going to the door, coming back to see if they got the client. But why don't they do the same when we sitting around waiting for our ride?
All right, thank you. And the other questions, I see something about making drivers aware of traffic conditions. And
that's me.
Yeah, who would like to respond to that?
Well, let me tell you the incident, then you'll know. When they were protesting, they blocked all the streets down on K Street. I was at Georgetown. We were going to pick up a young man. They blocked the street. The driver called, said, "I have," and this was one of the coldest days. Told him, "I cannot move. They will not let me move. I think you ought to send a van to pick up the person." They didn't. They refused to. I even called and said, "That could be me sitting and waiting.
Right.
You should sit." Wait a minute. You can't. How you gonna answer if you don't hear the question? So anyway, they had this young man waiting in the cold. I told him I even had to go to the restroom. They said, "I'm sorry, we can't let you. Can I go home and you send another van?" They didn't. So what's the sense of calling and letting you know the van can't move? And they made him wait for the van anyway.
Thank you. Who wants to respond?
I'd just like to add a question, because I know Sanderson is gonna answer. You know, when Ms. Armstrong asked the question, you know, why is it that if you're waiting at a location and you see a van that's sitting there empty, and yet you have to wait for that right van to come get you instead of somebody calling and saying, "There's a van sitting here, it's empty, why can't the customer who's waiting get on the van that's already at the location rather than something else?" rather than asking for the van that's already there to produce the trip instead. And it reminds me of a situation with airlines where, you know, you're on a plane and you're at the gate and they board all the passengers and then they say, "Oh, we found a mechanical problem." And they'll let you stay there for 3 or 4 hours fixing that plane, rather than taking the passengers off and bringing another plane to the gate and letting people go on their way. And you wonder, you know, well, why do they do that? And, you know, usually the reason that they give is they say, well, because each plane is already tied into a schedule. And if they don't have a lot of spare airplanes, so if they pull one off of another route just to satisfy that group of customers that are already sitting there, they're going to mess up some other route. In our system, we also don't have very many spare vehicles either. The only difference is that we do have the ability to move trips around from driver to driver much more easily on an individual basis than an airline can move 50 or 100 or 150 people from one flight to another. So, you know, Ms. Anderson, I just wanted to ask you in answering this question, I mean, is there ever a situation where if a van is sitting empty at a location and maybe there was a no-show or there was a cancellation and that operator has slack time, would we not allow the van that's on location pick up someone other than the person that was on their original manifest just to get them on their way?
If it makes sense. Sometimes, if we were to do that, yes, the person is picked up, but you may be creating a routing issue where that person is now heading in the opposite direction. You pick them up, but of course,
it is not the customer service that we want to provide by riding that person around town before getting them to the final destination. So, yes, in certain circumstances, if there is slack time, by all means, we want to get that person picked up and to the destination, but sometimes that is not the case.
And I said, I have a follow-up to that. Just bring, sure, we're going to give you a card. One of the other things I wanted to just interject too is the conversation Mr. Fry and Ms. Armstrong was having a moment ago about what the use of the ranger is. And, you know, the thing is, I just want to make sure I touch on this. The ranger shows the driver who they're picking up.
Yes,
the dispatchers send it out, okay. The ranger shows, and hey, again, I'm describing an old system of setup, right? I know you've seen unusual things, okay? So I'm not gonna dispute that. But what Mr. Fry was talking about is that once those trips are assigned, throughout the day they can change. It's important for the driver to pay attention to those changes.
Yes.
Just like if you were waiting again in an airport and it says that your flight is leaving at gate one. If you don't look up at that monitor, they might move gates, they might delay the flight of the plane. So the drivers have something that they're supposed to watch to see if it changes. But what we don't expect drivers to do is to take the navigational part of the computer and decide for their own selves how they're going to route their day. Because if the dispatch does not know where they're going and can't keep track of their movements, then if they were to try to move trips from one route to the other, the driver isn't going to be where the computer expects the driver to be. And so if you think that some of the routes are not efficient now, it would be much worse if the dispatchers were not able to see exactly where those drivers were, if they decided to just kind of go their own way. The hard part is, and this last thing I'll say, is that the computer does the original scheduling the night before when you get your call. So the add-ons, the dreadful add-ons, don't take place until the day of service. Okay, so the night before there's a schedule. And then what happens, sun comes up and people cancel rides and things change. And trips start to move. And that's when the schedule begins to become different from what was in our computer. So when Ms. Anderson talks about human error, what she means is, you know, I'm a dispatcher sitting in the call center, the driver says, there's no way I'm going to be able to get to this customer on time. That's when the dispatchers begin to move the trips around, because they're trying to prevent lateness as much as they can. The thing that I think we sometimes don't get right, and maybe this is something that we can work on, is that we try so hard to pick you up on time that we will put you on a route that does exactly what Ms. Anderson was just saying before. You will be an on-time pickup, but you're going to go around your elbow before you get to your destination. But we grade ourselves based on the on-time pickup. Right, and the thing about appointments is that if the appointment time is the most important part of your trip, it's very important to book the trip by the appointment time and let us know when your appointment is. Okay, so, but thank you, Mr. Chair, I appreciate it.
All right, I am going to end this because we have a lot of customers on the public comment period today, and we have an agenda item. Now let's move forward with that so we can end on time. Yes, Marissa.
On the agenda item, can I, when we get there, I need to make a motion because we were supposed to make it last time and we did not.
Okay, we can do that, or you can make it during. Do you want to put you on the speaker's list? Because.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is what it's for.
So
Mr. Chair, it's a motion she wants to make as a committee member.
Yeah, but does it relate to this topic or our main question?
Well, the only thing I'm saying is if you wanted to go in the record as a motion, she wouldn't do that during public comment.
Oh, then we, okay, I mean, I want you to discuss my commentary then in the agenda, how they amended my agenda to get to those items. Now, Doris, does this relate to this topic here?
This was a follow-up to this talk, what Mr. Kemp said. And the only thing I would say is what we've seen, Mr. Kemp, is that somebody is on the manifest and picked up, and then they, there's an add-on. And the add-on, you know, you want to get through on time, so that's what happens. And then what we've unfortunately seen is the add-on being taken to their destination first, and in some particular circumstances, that means somebody is picked up in Virginia, and then the add-on is picked up, you know, in Northwest, and then the add-on is going into Maryland. And so if there was some way to correct that kind of thing from happening, or depending on the add-on situation, whether, I don't know whether that person gets taken last or something, there's some logic in it. If you're in Northwest, getting to a location directly across the river in Virginia and coming back makes more sense.
Thank you. And this will be the last comment on this topic because I need to move on. I have a long list here and then plus other agenda items accomplished by 6 o'clock.
Thank you, yes. Mr. Chair. Mr. June, not Ms. Anderson, I was just going to ask if maybe just at a future meeting we could explain the way that an add-on is assigned such that when it goes on to a driver's route and the manifest is updated for ranger, how the driver will interpret the order of pickups once an add-on change has been made. Can we do that?
Yes, we can certainly do that.
Thank you. Right,
thank you. Question and comment period. I'm going to do that first and then go back to the agenda item committee members because we have a lot of customers on here. First is Annette. There's Rogers, if I'm saying it correctly. Rogers. I apologize. 3 minutes.
I had an appointment that was scheduled for me on August 22nd. My appointment time was 7 o'clock. I was supposed to be going to 4109 Edmundston Road in Bradensburg. They picked me up and within the window, and they got me there at 6 o'clock. And when they got me there, there was nobody in the building. The parking lot was empty. The driver came back in and he called it in to the dispatcher. The dispatcher told him to put me off the bus. And I said to him, I'm not getting off up here. To stand up in the middle of nowhere, don't know where I am. And if anything happens to me, Metro Access is not going to, the first thing they're going to say that I should not get off the bus. She said to me, I have two choices. Either I get off the bus or they take me back home. I asked her if they're going to send a ride for me when they take me back home. She said, no, I'll be made a no-show. I said, well, I'm not getting off the bus. I said, hell no, I'm not getting off the bus. And I sat there. And within the next 15 minutes, the pastor for the church came and I got off the bus. When I was ready to go home, they canceled my pickup. I had an 8:55 to a 9:25 pickup and they canceled it. So there I was with no ride to go home. And when I called, they couldn't find the schedule. Nothing was there. They just canceled it. And that was it.
Thank you.
So I want to know if that is the procedure, the new procedure of Metro Access to put blind people or blind customer outside in the middle of nowhere.
Thank you. Who would like to respond to that?
Good evening, Ms. Rogers. I guess with the cancellation of your return trip, you were just told that, I just wanted to clarify, you were just told that it was canceled?
When I called, the young lady that called for me is sitting right next, right here. She called to find out about her trip, right? And she asked me for my ID number, I gave it to her. They told her that I was picked up already. And she said, no, I'm sitting right here. So her ride came and she left. And I continued the conversation. And when I asked, where is my pickup? The person said to me, there is nothing here for you more than 9-something to 10-something. And I said, that's not the ride I made. The ride I made was 8:55, I got was 8:55 to 9:25. And they said, she said, there is nothing on the schedule like that.
Well, the first part of your comment as it relates to the arrival to your destination by the appointed time, I believe you said 7 o'clock, and you actually arrived at 6 o'clock. Sometimes that will happen. The day, as Mr. Kent had mentioned, scheduling takes place the day before. And we are working to try to accommodate the requested appointment time. If there should be a change, say a cancellation or something like that, that occurs, there are times when due to that, you might get a direct trip that might get you to that destination earlier than requested. And it seems like in this case, it was much earlier by an hour. Now, in this case, as you described, the location was not open yet. And by policy, our drivers are not supposed to wait with customers. It clearly says that in the customer guide. However, if there is a safety concern relative to leaving a passenger at a particular location, that they're there earlier, say, than the requested time, then our personnel needs to react to that. And there are several ways that that can be done. In some instances, we actually dispatch a road to the location so that the safety concern can be addressed and we can have the vehicle move on through the route. But it's kind of a case-by-case basis. But our policy is that we are not to wait with customers.
I understand that. You're not supposed to wait. But he had one other person on the van, and he wasn't going to be working anymore. He said, that's what he told me. He said, after he dropped that person off, he's going home. So he had to drop the person down a couple blocks down. Why didn't, instead of taking me home, why didn't he just drop the person and bring me back?
And again, and you made a good point there.
Because it had happened to me many times. Many times. You know.
Yes, ma'am.
And then when I called to complain, somebody said to the customer service guy that called me back, said to me that the procedure of Metro Access is that I have to have a PCA. I said, no. I always ride by myself pretty much. If I have one, I will take one. But I didn't know that was the procedure of Metro Access.
Mr. Chair, if you might ask a question. So this incident took place in the morning or the evening?
Evening.
Okay, so the trip was delayed until the facility closed. The van arrives and nobody's there.
The facility is not open yet.
Well, the place was not open. The church was not open. It was
an evening.
Empty parking lot.
Okay, all right.
You know, an hour ahead of time, and there was no way that I was getting out and standing in the middle of nowhere. I'm blind and I can't see. If I could see, it's fine, but I'm blind. And for a person to tell me something like that, I think that that person has no right working with customers in customer service.
Well, and that's exactly why I wanted to hear this story clearly. And I want to say to you that we do care about your safety, and we don't expect you to stand in an unfamiliar location and be left there. That's not the expectation. I think it's just the thing that we have to learn from this, though, is what, and this is what I would like all of the people who work in Metro Access to keep in mind. You know, we all know that things don't always happen the way that they're meant to. All right, we have a trip scheduled. We think we're going to arrive when the facility is open. We get there and the facility is not open. At that moment in time, when the customer is uncomfortable and tells the driver that they don't feel safe, that's a customer service issue that we have to deal with. If the customer does not want to get off of the vehicle for their own safety, we're not going to make them do that. But the customer needs to understand that there is a schedule. The driver can tell you that they have the time, or they believe that they have the time, but it's not up to them to decide where they go next. They're supposed to get instructions. But as far as your safety is concerned, if you need to stay on the vehicle because you don't have anyone around, we understand that. And I think that's probably the answer that you were looking for, is just, do we care? You know, should we have said, you know, you need to get off the vehicle? Well, no. If you say that you don't feel safe, we care about you feeling safe, and we're sorry if we answered you that way. But now that this has happened, we don't want it to happen again. And I think that that is where, if it was me and I was in your place and I was uncomfortable, I'd say, I want to stay on the vehicle too. What are my choices, right? They might say, okay, well, if you stay on the vehicle, you're going to have to go where the driver goes until we can find a way to get you back here, because we can't leave the vehicle stopped because there's other work that has to be done. And after that day was over and I got home, I would say to myself, before I use Metro Access again, and putting it this straight, I need to know how to reserve my trip, what magic words do I need to say, so that they understand not to drop me off, you know, either before or after, what have you. And there are ways to do that in our scheduling system. But, you know, Ms. Anderson, I think that's what we need to work to do for her.
Absolutely. Okay. We can, and Ms. Rogers, my team can work with you on that.
For the past couple of years, when I first started to use Metro Access, I was told to make my ride by appointment, because I used to have rides come and pick me up and get me late to my appointment. So I was told to make it by appointment. I made a 7 o'clock appointment. They got me there at 6, you know, an hour before.
Well, and that's another point I want to make, is that when you book Metro Access by appointment, the assumption we make is you don't want to be late. If you can't be early, that has to be discussed when you book the trip, because we may not know that. We're going to think that we're doing a good job for you as long as we get you there without making you late. But if early arrival is also a problem, that has to be shared very specifically when you reserve the trip. And then they, you know, what they may do is they may say, well, if getting there early is a safety issue and getting there late is a convenience issue, then they're going to book you by pickup. And you're definitely not going to be early, but you might occasionally be late, but you'll be safe. I mean, those are the parameters.
I don't care.
We need to move on.
I don't care either way what happened. What I care about is being told as a blind person that I have to get home. That, for me, is insulting.
And we apologize for that, Ms. Rogers. That's why I say I do agree with you on that point.
All right, thank you. Next person on the list is Tim Colleton. Someone break up the mic, please. 3 minutes.
Yes, I have,
I had a trip August 7th where I was picked up at work, and there was a young lady on board. She was being taken to Inwood House. Then I was informed there was a pickup in Silver Spring on East-West Highway, and we had to take that person to Chevy Chase before they took me to Rockville. Lo and behold, going towards East-West Highway to pick up this person, I said, drop me off. I want to be dropped off at home. No, we've got to follow the manifest. We have to take you to Chevy Chase before we take you home, canceling my trip. I got off at the location on East-West Highway and took a cab home, because by the time I would have gotten to my event in Rockville, the event would have been over. That's ludicrous. Secondly, I'm not getting any follow-up phone calls the night before. I can't remember the last time I received a reminder phone call. And thirdly, about what were we discussing?
Oh yes, your card. So your card says, when I'm waiting on a van, dispatch refuses to let me know what number
van. What number van I'm looking for? I'm in several locations where there are several vans coming and going. And I ask, and they simply refuse. They say, we can't tell you that. Why is that? That's ludicrous. Again.
All right, who wants to take that?
I certainly can. The event that you described from August 7th, Southside definitely circuitous routing, where from what you're describing, it sounds as though the dispatch department was focusing in on, say, on-time trip activities, or picking up the customers on time versus actually where they were, their final destination. So that's what it sounds like, from traversing from Inwood down to Silver Spring, then over to Chevy Chase, to go finally to Rockville on that. So that's what it sounds like to me. And we can certainly investigate that. I don't know if you've already put in a complaint about
that. I've not heard anything back. Okay. And it's been weeks.
Okay, well, you will certainly have someone wrap back around with you tomorrow, because that complaint should have already been investigated, so we can discuss that with you, our findings with that. But I do apologize that you had to go through that. The next one with the reminder phone calls, we can certainly look into that as well to make sure that we have the proper number for you on file, and make sure that you're getting your reminder calls. That should be a relatively quick fix to make sure that you're getting those as you should. And then lastly, you were talking about, I believe, you said, the vet with dispatch not giving you the van numbers. The reason why, say if you call in to dispatch, and I don't know, if you call in, you know, an hour or so, say, before your scheduled pickup, things can change pretty rapidly at times. So where if you were given certain information, it may not be the correct information once that vehicle arrives. There could have been a change. There could have been a trip insertion. There could have been a trip movement to get you picked up within your window. Now, if the vehicle had arrived for your pickup and you called in, there is no reason why that dispatcher should not give you that that vehicle number. If the driver that has your trip has arrived that trip and are trying to connect with you, and you call in because you're trying to connect with that driver, there's no reason why that dispatcher should not be able to give you that vehicle number. If you have a particular instance that you would like us to look into, a travel date, we'd be glad to do that.
This happened every time I've called and asked for the number band I'm looking for. They've always refused.
And are you calling in prior to the vehicle arrival?
Yes, but minutes. Or the scheduled arrival.
the schedule.
Schedule the window. I said, what vans should I be looking for? And they said, we can't tell you that.
It could change. It could change even within your window. And the main thing is, we don't want to give you inaccurate information. If they give you information and it's not right, the right vehicle that actually performed your trip, that's going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem for you. And so we want to make sure that if we're giving you information, that we're actually giving you the correct information.
Thank you. Next is Carl Schmidt.
Thank you. My name is Carl Schmidt. I've been a Metro Access user for 29 years. I worked as a reservationist 28 years ago, when it was a much different system than it is to now. There have been so many improvements. I want to compliment the management and the people that have the money to make changes. And I have one other change that I would like to have considered, and that was 8 to 10 years ago, the amount of time between a drop-off and a pickup was given us a half an hour, and that got changed to 1 hour, and that reduces the number of trips that a Metro Access driver can perform in a day. My suggestion is that since 99% of the trips that are reserved by appointment time, in other words, today I made an appointment to be here at 3 o'clock. And this is one of the few exceptions when they really didn't get me here to 3 o'clock because of the heavy rain and some other problems. But the driver that was reached me 40 minutes late, got me there in 30 minutes. So he made up the time and he didn't violate any speeding rules or anything. So I appreciate that. But I would like to see the statistics studied to see if it would be possible for rides that are based on an appointment time to, since everybody gets there earlier than the appointment time, to be picked up 15 minutes after the appointment time, or in cases of bad weather, snow or rain or any other traffic circumstances, that 15 minutes be made to be 30 minutes, and that all the reservationists would be advised during their work day of what that particular wait time would be, 15 or 30 minutes. On those cases where you're making an appointment and you realize that there may be a 20 or 30 minute delay because of a shared ride situation, which is something that we have to work with, then I would like to see that, the estimated time of the drop-off, used to add 30 minutes to that before the pickup would be made. And again, that might be extended to 45 minutes on those days where there was a rainstorm or heavy weather.
The 3 minutes are up. We do have a lot of customers. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Who wants to respond to that? Or?
I think I understand what Mr. Schmidt is proposing, and obviously we can talk with him afterward because I have some further questions to make sure that I understand his proposal.
Thank you. The next person is Edward Harris. 3 minutes.
Yeah, my name is Edward Harris, and my ID number is 37848, and I am here because of a whole slew of just late appointments. I schedule about 90% of my rides by appointment, and I am just getting to my appointments just late all the time. And I'm trying to figure out what is the procedure as far as the dispatch, is there some sort of protocol in place as far as monitoring these trips, looking at these trips to see if the route is running late? And what do you do to try and remedy that for these appointments? Do they know that they that the customers have appointments? Especially when I'm going to a doctor's appointment. I think that everyone knows that when you go into a doctor's appointment, if you're 15 minutes late, you won't be seen that day. And that's where I'm going most of the time. And I can't tell you how many times I've gotten to my doctor's appointments and I can't be seen because I'm late. And that's really frustrating. And that's the main thing. So if I could get some feedback on that, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi, Mr. Harris. It's been a minute.
Yeah, I will come.
But it's good to see you, Chris. Based on what you're saying, this seems to be a reoccurring thing. So what I would propose is that we take a look at kind of where you're going. I'm assuming that you're booking by appointment time.
Yeah, about 90% of the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and to answer your question, absolutely, dispatch has that information. The scheduling team has that information. They're scheduling based on the appointment time request, the day of service. That is out front with the dispatch team, so they are privy to that information. So we need to just get underneath why you are consistently not having that request honored. So we can certainly do that.
And do you guys utilize the cabs at any point for some of the trips? I mean, you know, when, especially when these rides are running late on Metro Access for some of these appointments. Do you ever push them off on a cab at all?
We do, but we only utilize our cab partners about 5% of the service.
Okay.
So there are instances where if it is possible to enlist a cab partner to get that trip done, we certainly will do that.
Just hoping for a little bit of foresight as far as the dispatch. I mean, looking at these trips, when they see that the trips are running late for that route, and they know that this person a couple of trips down has an appointment, because I'm not seeing that, especially when I'm waiting for a trip and my window has ended and I call and they're telling me that my ride is still 15 minutes away and my trip is already ended. I mean, my window's already ended. That's horrible.
Right.
And I'm not going to get to my appointment, so.
Right. I totally understand.
All right.
We'll look into that for you.
All right. Next is Sharon McBride.
Yes.
3 minutes.
Hi, good evening, everyone. I'm sort of going to reiterate what Ms. Annette Rogers was talking about. Ms. Annette, with the driver just counting her ride, because I pulled up to the same activity she attended, and I was trying to see if maybe she could, we don't live apart from each other, she could go back to me, but I said no, that wasn't part of the procedure. It was pretty, disconcerting to say the least, and she had to end up having someone else help her get home, and I was very upset about that. And secondly, I don't know if you have any type of survey going around about the new vans that you offer, but let it be clearly stated that I, for one, do not like them at all. And to me, they're not conducive to helping a person. I'm a short person, I'm like 5'4", but I can't stand up on the van. I have to walk on it, bend over. So apparently it's only designed for persons in wheelchairs. But it has a low overhead when you first get on the van, because the driver failed to tell me this, so I whoop my head and oh, there's a low bridge, you know, that kind of stuff. So I don't like the van at all. I think these people back in the morning would with that one.
Thank you. Let's start there.
The new van that you're referring to has actually been in service for quite a while. We have 16 of those. Earlier we talked about the time vehicles stay in service and the miles they go out. Those probably are scheduled to be replaced maybe within the next 2 years or so, and we're not planning on purchasing any of those. The van is coming, it's going to be a hybrid similar to what we have.
Thank you. Next person is Bill Lanes. 3 minutes. Not here. Okay. Next person on the list is Francine White.
You know, so many of us riding in Metro Access, we're listening to the print and electronic media and reading and so forth, and we're hearing about these alleged sexual assaults on the drivers, well, not on the drivers, but on the passengers by the drivers. And I was just wondering, I guess this is more directed to Mr. Kent. I know I've attended the meetings before, and you've outlined the vetting process for the drivers. But I'm wondering, what are you doing differently now, which you should be doing something differently now, in light of what's currently happening?
Yes. I can answer you too, but I want to talk to the discussion.
Well, it is definitely discouraging the recent events that have taken place. It's totally unacceptable. I want to assure you. It is definitely discouraging and unacceptable the recent events that have taken place. There is a process in place as far as the selection of drivers. Background checks are administered. There's a rigorous training program that the drivers go through. Overall program as far as the drivers go through as it relates to interacting with customers, passengers. So that's something we take very seriously.
So I guess my question is, do you anticipate people falling through the cracks, or drivers falling through the cracks on that? Like a small percentage, or? Because I'm just wondering, what was with this gentleman or woman that that happened in terms of, you looked at the background and it wasn't consistent with what you saw?
If I could answer that, excuse me. Like Mr. Crawford said, very disturbing events that have been addressed, that are being addressed at the very highest levels, including the general manager, meeting with leadership from each of the contractors. These employees are no longer working in the Metro Access system. They've been terminated by their contractor employers. We do have a very thorough background check that all Metro employees go through, including those that work for our contractors. Very thorough training program. Since this event took place, or these events took place, as I said earlier, the general manager has met with leadership of these organizations. Several initiatives have been put into place, or are in the process of being put into place to, as you say, catch people who might slip through the cracks. So the short answer to your question is no, we do not anticipate that people will slip through the cracks. We do not anticipate that there's going to be a reoccurrence of these events due to, as I mentioned, the meetings, the high level attention and the initiatives that are being put in place to make sure that this does not happen again. We do not anticipate that there will be a reoccurrence, not at all.
Thank you. Next person is Billie Jean Armstrong. 3 minutes.
Yes, on the trip on the van sitting, they're not all sitting. I said some of them are leaving empty. And one instance, it was 4 vans, and it ended up being one of the vans that I called in ended up coming back after me, which I couldn't understand that if they had a place to go. and Ford's young lady saying that the driver would not, or dispatcher, to me, was inconsiderate, not compassionate at all, to let this young lady get on the van with the other one who lived closely, because I was in that situation in the snow. I asked, found out the client on the van was one a few blocks from my house, and the dispatcher says, we don't do add-ons. Oh, please, we do it all the time. And had me to wait 40 minutes for another van where they brought a person all the way out of Maryland. So I'm just saying that if there's some professionalism, consideration, and compassion and empathy for people, they would use common sense to try to switch it. And I want to know, are these dispatchers getting training since they are dumping these trips on these vans that's usually nowhere in the area, pick up or destination or where you're going? Also, I gave things to Jennifer about what had happened. They're calling me again. They do this annually. Stop calling me at work, calling me at home to pick me up from my office. But yet I'm at my office, so how did I get back home? And they're the no-show. While I was talking to a supervisor, your programs need to be set up that when a supervisor or a dispatcher is talking to a client that the other one is trying to get to, because I didn't answer the phone since I was talking to the supervisor. In the meantime, they sent the van on and I had to wait an hour and I needed to get to this way. And I don't understand about that. As far as this, twice I called because of the fare. They called me back. They don't even have the correct information from the complaints department. So I just don't understand how with the add-ons, they add them on that's way out of the way. So they either need to be in training, need to be fired, need to have a personal contact with other people, or role play to show you how you talk to people. Something needs to be done because it's too much that's happening, and I'm just tired of saying the same thing. Every month it looks like somebody would get tired of hearing the same thing every month. And I just don't understand why we got a good service that it can't be. Do you know, my mother used to ride when they had a printout. They connected the rides better reading the whole printout sheet than they could with the computer.
So were there any more speakers, Mr. Chair?
No more speakers. It's 6 o'clock.
I mean, I don't know if you're going
to move. Oh, thank you.
There's, and Marissa has a motion. Okay, well, if you don't mind, Mr. Chair, I'm just going to say something very brief to summarize everything I heard from Ms. Armstrong, from Mr. Harris, and from Ms. White, because I think it's important for me to say this. Number one, we care about your safety, Ms. White. And we care about Ms. Rogers and Ms. Rogers' friends' safety out there. Appreciate you telling us from the perspective of a blind person how you felt about a driver telling the jet to be off the vehicle. That is not our way. We should not be doing that. If something like that happens, you need to tell us. Obviously, we will correct it. Okay, we're not condoning that behavior. The managers can't be everywhere, but when we find out what has happened, we correct it. We don't want you to miss your medical appointments. I really felt for you as you were telling your story, because I know it's hard to get those appointments. I understand that. The reason why that's happening to you right now and why we've been having these issues with the trip movement, as Armstrong is talking about, the difficulties in making appointments is because for those of you who've looked at a calendar recently, it's September. Yes. Summer's over. This is the high point of the year for Metro Access Service. The ridership is going through the roof. And one of the things I was saying, Ms. Armstrong, is I'm sure that you do remember, as a longtime customer, that when we had paper manifests, a lot of things were different. But you know what? Thousands of fewer people were using Metro Access at the time. The more that the system has more and more people on it, the harder it is to stay on time. The contractors are struggling, trying to keep up with this much demand. Metro is trying to find ways to add more service. That's one reason why you will soon see that Abilities Ride proposal go out, because we need all the help we can get, because the demand is coming very challenging for Metro Access. And as Ms. Ray will remind all of us, we can't turn anyone away. We can't have any capacity constraints on ADA paratransit, so we're going to accept every reservation. But we will do a better job if we have more help. As far as the incidents you mentioned, the driver arrests, you know, we do 2 million trips a year. I've been here 11 years.
Yep.
This sort of thing is a rare occurrence on the service, but what I can tell you, in 30 years of working in this business, I have never seen a situation where a driver got caught with this kind of misconduct, and we went in their criminal file and found something. They always have a clean record. And then you look at that and say, all right, well, what's the problem? If they had a clean record, why would someone with a clean record do this? And the answer is because this service is different. This service is something a lot of these folks have never done before. They find themselves in a new situation that they haven't been in before. And it's always been a first offense for the people who have done this. So there's nothing in their record, there's nothing to tell us that it's going to happen. What we are doing, and I want this committee to know, is that when the general manager, who you've all met several times now, found out that this happened, he brought the CEOs of all the contractors to this building. He sat down with me and the rest of the leadership, and he said, I want us to do better. I want us, even if we couldn't, you know, we didn't prevent the individual from being hired. We want to do everything in our power to watch where the vehicles are, watch where the customers are, and if the vehicle has been sitting for any period of time, we're going to be finding out, okay, why that is. And we're going to be watching a lot more closely. We're going to use the tools that we have to find these situations before they can get out of hand. So we have an action plan that we're going to be putting into place. I feel very good about it because there's a lot of information that we have and all this technology to help us keep a better watch on the service. And we're going to do that because it's the right thing to do and because the fact that we can't look you all in the eye and say that we're doing everything we can if we're not doing everything we can. So we got together and we had a meeting about it, and we talked about all the different things that we can do more of to make our Metro Access customers safe. And we have already put that plan into effect. So as I said, it's a rare occurrence on this service, but we have doubled and tripled our effort to monitor where every van is at all times so that you will be safer on this system. We took it very, very seriously. And that's why I appreciate you raising that thing for us today. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
No, wait a minute to answer the question.
Mr. Chair, I didn't finish answering her question. I was just going to say that the last thing that Armstrong said was about why the dispatchers would add on a trip when it's not an efficient routing. Was that
right? Right, especially since they can see how they get them a training, so they know.
So I'm going to
are they getting a by them knowing where they all are, it seems like even though it's not paperwork, you have electronics in. Like you said, you can see where. So why would you put something in Maryland to pick up a person in D.C. when you have all the vans running around?
Well, so what I'm going to just say, and Mr. Chair, I apologize. I know you'd like to end on time. I apologize for this. But I just add that you should not assume that if a driver makes a mistake out there, that their trainer doesn't know what they're doing. Just like, just like you should not assume that if a child makes a mistake that the parent didn't try to teach them. You understand where I'm going? if a dispatcher moves a trip that you don't think makes sense, it isn't necessarily that they haven't been trained. It could be that there's simply only so many places they make it move the trip when Metro Access is full. Okay, we got a lot of folks riding. Sometimes they look at a bunch of bad choices and they had to pick the best one of a bunch of bad choices.
They went from Cat Springs Road to Georgetown and I was telling them how many was leaving from right there in Georgetown.
Sometimes that is the best that they are able to do. And that is why, what I'm saying is they sometimes do this knowing that there might be some delay, but they have to put the trip somewhere. And that's why I'm telling everybody here, I mean, we're being very real with you about this tonight, okay? That there are times that we are faced with ugly choices. And we don't mean to do this, okay? But this is what I'm talking about when I go in the boardroom and I say, in order for Metro Access to be able to keep doing a good job, we need other companies to come in and help with this type of work. That's just a fact. And the fact is that when you look at what's going on in the rail system right now, I mean, look what has happened with the rail system. There are people that are delayed on the rail system because we have to fix the rail system. These systems are not perfect. Actually, Metro Access at 92% on time is doing better. Okay? So,
I'm not right because they sent one back to me that I saw the van.
And I'm just talking
about the council meeting. And sent the one back and my name was on the manifest that they canceled and I reported the number when they sent back when I signed.
Mr. So, Chair, all right, this, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, yes, go ahead, Stella.
This is Carol. The first thing I want to say, we don't have any time to discuss what we were talking about earlier. So I would like to say that on our next meeting, we should thoroughly look at the fact that if some routes are going to be closed, if the subway is going to be closed, what's going to be done. So it should be a discussion on what's going to happen with the rail in terms of Metro Access, because if the rail is closed at a certain time, it would cause hardship. Will Metro Access be affected? Also, the cost of Metro Access, we need to take a look at, because if you're going to close the rail then, what is the cost of Metro Access when we are twice the price on track? So I think we need to take a good long look at what could happen if Metro Access, if the train is closed down at a certain time, is it going to be closed down, and what's going to affect our customers who ride Metro Access at the cost. And I think it's very serious. I think you should give it a lot of consideration, because whether the price is going to go up or go down, our customers need to know. And I think.
And we also need to put on the agenda the ability to drive.
Gotcha.
But there is a board meeting on the 22nd, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And
11:05.
11. We really need to talk about the ability to drive. Mr. Kent's proposal that I heard, I have a patch over my eye, Mr. Kent, because I didn't duck when I got that sucker punch. And I wanted to, I didn't want them to see my black eye. But you gave me two. So we have to talk about your proposal.
So to be clear, for next month's agenda, we already have two priority agenda items, so things need to be shifted around.
Mr. Chair, I think Mr. Bellamy's suggestion of agenda should not wait till the next month. This subcommittee meeting, I suggest that we request our chairman sitting there to have the AAC meeting. Is it what?
Yes.
All right, you have the AAC
meeting. I guess we can roll this to the AAC meeting.
Could I answer that?
Yes.
Okay, now, that was discussed, I think, one or two meetings ago. And so the answer that we received at that time is if the rail is closed in a particular area and you're routing on bus, that the ride guide would indicate that you're using the bus, twice the bus, which means the Metro Access fare would go down.
Yes, for that,
for the affected area on, for that Metro Access service, along that area.
Sure.
What I heard was, there is another issue, and the other issue is what will happen to people if the rail service shuts down at 10 p.m. on Sunday, what will happen to their lives and their livelihoods? And that is an issue that we share together, both fixed route users as well as member access users. And I think the simplest answer is that the AAC needs to oppose that shutdown.
Also, they're talking about making a later subway. Well, that will affect a lot of people's livelihoods. And who moves around, just getting around. People in Hyattsville who live in Greenback don't have a lot of bus service at that time, but they did have the rail service.
But are you understanding that the proposal for the changes of the hours are going to be permanent?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's, Mr. Chair, if I could just interject, this sounds like a great topic for bus, rail, or the main meeting, but I'll say this much, if you all want to weigh in on this, you're not the only ones that want to express an opinion about the rail schedules. We are absolutely happy to help you deliver a letter. Or if you want to, if you can wait until the AAC meeting in, what is it, in 2 weeks?
Yes.
It could be done then. Is there a public forum on this before that?
There's supposed to be a public hearing, but they said sometime in the week of
okay, so it won't be until well after you guys have met.
We should have a public
hearing. But we need people to be at the board meeting on the 22nd. We need people to be there every time we can talk to the board.
Well, and that's true. I mean, you guys can come and speak in public comment at any board.
But I think my suggestion was, Patrick, is this. If we have that, AAC meeting, it's not a fair issue, then we could bring it up to the next board meeting. If we miss this room, we could bring it up as a group, not such a individual. And that would be much more effective coming from the chairman as a group. Suggestion rather than individuals. We could go to board meeting as an individual, but as a group it's much more powerful than individual comments. So I suggest together, yes. And I suggest that we have this agenda in the next AAC meeting.
So it seems like you have a
thank you,
Mr. Sheehan. Thank you. And with that, I would like to make the motion to adjourn. Yes?
Marissa has a motion she'd like to propose.
To put up the motion that we as a team member need to be able to visit the call center once a year.
I already put in that motion to be a work plan, so that has already been understood. That this is an once a year event. I already made that at the mayor's meeting. It's in the work plan. No, I already put it in the work plan.
Thank you.
All those in motion, please go for adjournment, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.